Transformers.
You're listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Wehrenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
And in today's episode, we're going to be reviewing the new Transformers film.
The Last Night.
The Last Night. Yeah. So what'd you think, Peter?
It was 2.5 hours long. I didn't know what was going on, and it was loud.
Yep. Sorry. Yeah, that's about all I can say, too. I don't necessarily recommend. It was a long process, a long, grueling process. And like Peter said, I didn't know what was going on at all. And when I left the theater, I was more confused about the Transformers legacy and franchise than I was when I got there. So, yeah, I think that sums up the movie.
Would you recommend it, Colin?
No. What about you?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's the end of this episode of Real Talk. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play. What else do we
NPR
have?
NPR One episode.
NPR One. No, we're just kidding. We're actually going to talk about it.
Oh, we are.
But we hate to talk about it.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
I really don't know what to say either. You know, I love the era that it was paying homage to. I think that's such an interesting era to make movies about. You know, with Lancelot and, you know, King Arthur and Merlin. But don't turn it into like a Transformer sort of
thing. Yeah. Because the thing was, they focused on, you know, the opening I was actually somewhat invested in.
Exactly. So was I.
I was like, this is an interesting idea. But again, they're like, oh, right, here we have to go into modern times.
Yeah.
That I still can't follow. It was just me trying to remember for the first, like, 30 minutes, like, what happened to Age of Extinction 3 years ago?
That's kind of what I was doing. And it did have sort of a Lord of the Rings-ish sort of vibe at the very beginning, you know? And there were some very dark tones and a very serious mood. And that was ruined very quickly by some really kind of unwarranted comedy. That it killed the mood, killed the entire tone of the plot from the very beginning. And then I think that's one good way to describe the tone of the movie. It was very awkward. It didn't make any sense. Like I, kind of like you said yesterday when we were watching the movie, like, where's Optimus Prime? You get this very big, you know, plot twist at the beginning of, you know, Optimus Prime returning to Cybertron. And then, you know, meets
Medusa Robot.
Exactly. I don't know what that was.
I don't remember the name. I'm just going to call it that.
Yeah. I. What is her name?
Who cares?
Gosh, I want to guess, but I don't want to butcher it. So then he's Nemesis Prime, and then you don't hear anything about him for about an hour.
Yep.
And then he comes to Earth. We're not going to give too many spoilers away, but there's going to be a lot of spoilers. We don't really care.
Here's the thing. It's every Transformers movie we've seen. There's a MacGuffin that they have to get to do something to this robot, and then this big, stupid ending happens, and then they save the day, and then there's a plot point for the next movie.
Yeah, They need to stop.
Oh, there's 13 more where this came from.
Exactly.
You got
Michael Bay likes that paycheck. I can't say I don't blame him, though.
Oh, God, if I was him, I wouldn't care what anybody was thinking.
Yeah.
I still will criticize him, but my God, I get it. You want money.
Exactly.
And you want to play with some cool cars and blow stuff up.
You know, I was going to say, this is a weird thing we were talking about. During the movie, Michael Bay knows how to shoot some very beautiful shots.
He does.
Beautiful. And he knows how to use practical effects, I think, better than anyone in the industry today. I'll give him that.
And the thing is about him, because this episode will probably be more like a Michael Bay discussion than anything, because, I don't know what to say about this film.
Yeah.
Michael Bay's weird.
He is.
Because when he started out, he was making great, you know, popcorn films, you know, Bad Boys, The Rock, Armageddon.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, they're not great movies. They definitely, I think they're so bad it's good quality, but I think, you know what? There was a reason people were seeing these, because they were enjoyable. Yeah. Then he made Pearl Harbor, which was odd.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah. And then, but a movie I don't hate, I will say. Yeah. I do enjoy that movie.
There were, honestly, the Pearl Harbor scene itself was.
It was amazing.
Very well done.
Yeah.
There was some definitely some real big historic discrepancies there. But,
of course.
You know,
it's for the sake of cinema.
It's Hollywood. That's fine, I guess.
Exactly.
But then when he started making Transformers, because the first Transformers movie, I don't think it's this god-awful mess.
Oh, I love the first. I'll say that, and I've gone on record saying it before. I love the first Transformers movie because I love Transformers. I think the concept is neat. I love the characters. Mm-hmm. And then it just kept getting more off and then off and on. And I think this was the most off the tracks, like, what is going on?
I mean,
you can make an argument for the reasons the others are bad, but this one was just rough.
Was
rough. It, by the end of the movie, I still had no clue why some plot points were brought up. People are brought up, and then you never hear from them again.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
I'm like, okay, what was that about?
The thing I know I've talked about this before, you know, getting compared to Star Wars here, yeah. where you have to have a very known main character that's going to yeah. guide you for this weird universe. Because yeah. the second you have anything sci-fi related, I mean, people are going to be like, what is going on? So you need that main character
someone
to help
connect
you.
To, yeah. And he kind of tells the story yeah. in a weird way.
And say what you about the first race. Shia LaBeouf is fun.
He is.
Even though those films are, well, at least the last two are bad.
Yeah.
He's always the fun one. Like, when he does, like, this weird overacting, I'm like, I kind of enjoy this. The rest of the movie I hate.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg does not do that.
Yeah.
And I think the last one, and especially this one, he's barely, it's weird because they have, I think, two or three main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg, Anthony Hopkins, how's he in this mess?
Yeah, no kidding.
And a British woman.
Yeah. And then we have...
Who's not introduced to, like, almost an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
And she's going to play an important role in this.
And then she disappears.
Yeah.
And then she comes back.
There's also this annoying kid.
And then we have, of course, the child protagonist, which everyone in Hollywood is jumping on board with these days. Give it a rest. Stranger Things did it. Leave it alone. You're not going to create a million Elevens. It's just no. not going to work.
And again, it's just like... Again, like I said, what is going on?
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing about Michael Bay. He doesn't care what's going on.
Yeah.
He's gotten to the point where he knows people are going to see this movie.
He knows it's going to make $1 billion in the box office. He doesn't care. He can do anything and people are going to come because there are so many people who still truly love these movies.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
And again, he has the attitude of, you know, I don't care what the critics think, which, again, is fine. You're a filmmaker. I still think he...
I honestly respect him for that because who does care? What I mean, I don't really care what the critics
think. It's like, why do you people care what we're saying right now?
Exactly.
But
good point.
At the same time, it's like he knows he's making films for the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
And that I can't respect.
But still making the most money.
He is. And it's weird, like...
What did we say? Second highest grossing yep. director of all time.
And he's worth, like, a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think $90 million when I looked this morning.
Let's see.
Or $45 million. It's a stupid, stupid amount. But the thing is, like, people in the industry respect him. I mean, you're not getting Anthony Hopkins... on your stupid big Transformers movie.
Michael Bay is worth $430 million.
Oh.
A little bit of a low number there. That's okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I really don't want to live anymore, but anyway.
Let's compare that to the highest grossing director of all time, Steven Spielberg, who's worth $3.7 billion U.S. dollars.
Good for him.
Hey, he's the EP on this, so he's still getting a paycheck.
Oh, yeah, he's involved. But back to... Transformers and Michael Bay in the industry.
Yeah,
people like him.
They do.
And the thing is, when he's been apparently people who are in the industry or like have studied film say he knows how to make film. That's been a good consensus. And you know, I would say I don't want to. I mean, the Benghazi movie. I know saying that's going to start up a political storm. Not going to get to that. But as a film, it was probably his best he's ever done.
Yeah,
because it was very focused. It was very directed well.
And then again, he already had almost a pre-decided plot he had to stick to.
Exactly.
He didn't have his, you know, his own freedom to just, people might be getting bored, let's blow this up. You know what I mean?
Pain and Gain, which actually is a good movie he made a while back with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock, based on a true story, but he kind of played with it.
Yeah.
He does interject a lot of his personal opinion on, like, the story. Like, there's a moment where he's like, this actually happened. These guys are that dumb.
Yeah.
So it's like, he knows how to make film, but I think he's almost an anti-filmmaker.
Yeah,
he's clearly doing what he wants to do. And here's the thing. From what I've heard and what I've read from his experience, you know, in film school and all that, he knows how to make movies.
Yeah.
He just wants to do it. He just doesn't want to do it that way.
And you almost can't knock the guy because he gets to blow stuff up and play with cool cars all day long. You know, I don't blame him.
As a fan of practical effects, I mean, he's going on location and just... Doing stupid, crazy stuff.
That's why I have a lot of respect for him because he's not relying entirely on CGI, but there's a lot of CGI in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not relying completely on it. You know what I mean? As kind of like you mentioned, we've alluded to a lot, he's a very big believer in practical effects. And for that, I respect him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know what is going on. And I feel like the Transformers universe needs to, you know, just kind of go away.
Well, it's not.
It's not, but I think it should.
Because the film literally shows that every historical event in our history has had a Transformer involved somehow. A watch killed Hitler. A Transformer robot that transforms into a watch killed Hitler in the Fuhrer.
As a matter of fact, there was a whole montage about Bumblebee being a soldier in World War II.
Yep, because Anthony Hopkins recognized. Apparently, it's like, again, this whole franchise has been complicated by, like, when did the Transformers actually arrive? Okay, now we know they've been here forever. Because, spoiler alert, our planet is Unicron.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen the original Transformers movie, or you've seen Transformers Armada, the Transformers show I grew up on in the early 2000s, you know Unicron's cool.
Yeah.
But my God, this is a film that is not...
He doesn't want to be messed with.
Oh, boy. Because, yeah, they introduced that plot point. It's like, oh my God, are they actually into Unicron in this movie? No, they're doing a whole... So Optimus Prime, at the end of Age of Extinction, goes to find his creator, which is apparently Medusa.
My creator.
Yeah. Which is a Medusa robot.
Yeah, Medusa robot.
I think.
Not a fan of Medusa robot.
I don't remember. So
Carissa. Was her name Carissa? Calypso? Queso? Something.
Something like that.
Something like that. Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Sure. So he goes there. She makes him a Decepticon, I guess. And they're going to, of course, our planet, where he has to find the staff, which is the MacGuffin for this film.
Hey, Siri.
I'm not sure I understand.
What's the Medusa robot in Transformers The Last Night?
If she gets that, I will be surprised. But yeah, so, yeah, there's the MacGuffin is the staff that a British woman has to hold because she's apparently the last descendant of Merlin, who's apparently real in this universe. I don't care at this point.
Quintessa.
Oh, my.
Quintessa.
Quintessa. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's the character.
Well, in the post-credits scene, she's become a human Transformer, and she's trying to get Unicron.
I still don't know what's going on.
It's like we said with the TRF in this film, which I guess was introduced in the last film.
Yeah.
Josh Duhamel's back. Yeah. That's great for him. I thought he was homeless.
Yeah. He was living on the streets
of LA.
Haven't
seen him forever.
Yeah, he's back.
Good to see him back.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't understand why the military wants to stop Mark Wahlberg and this.
That was what I kept saying to you through the whole movie. Yeah. I'm like, why are they after them? They're trying to help.
Yeah.
It made zero sense. There was nothing established as to why they would be after them. Michael Bay, what are you doing,
man? I think the TRF was completely against Transformers in general, where they didn't care if they were Autobot or Decepticon. They just, like, didn't want them.
And
so
then
I guess that's
the jerk who was in charge of TRF never got justice served to him. He was a total jerk throughout the whole movie. And then all of a sudden he turns good, just kind of like at the snap of fingers. I was so lost.
I honestly forgot who
it was. One of those movies where last night I was like, oh, I saw a movie today. It was one of those.
It just wasn't a movie. It was a 2.5 hour something. Again, it's 20 minutes shorter than Age of Extinction, which I think almost hit 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which was miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, this was miserable too. But again, it's this thing like, I can't say I was shocked.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I can't say I despise this movie or hate this movie. I don't think it's a good movie. But it's like going into it after the last four films, like, I know what to expect.
Exactly.
Like, it couldn't shock
exactly. me. Exactly. We were kind of prepped for it.
Yeah. Again, I was like, this is confusing. It's loud. It's annoying. The weirdest thing is this is a Transformers movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't name most of the Transformers.
Oh,
I didn't know anything about them.
And the little montage when, who was it? Megatron is choosing the Transformers he wants to go with him to fight.
That was weird.
That was so weird.
Because, like, they introduce this robot and they stop. It's like Deftron or whatever. It's like this, again, we talked about
tone.
It
was like a comic book sort of thing. It was just, there was zero continuity. And I don't mean continuity as far as story is concerned because we know that's not there. But there was not continuity with the style of movie it was.
Yeah.
Because it had, like, this comic book meets Transformers action movie meets Kill Bill sort of weird. It just didn't work.
The screen kept changing. If like there was a big explosion, like it was just a mess. And
it's almost like it was formatted for IMAX and then they put the wrong format on a standard screen. It was weird.
Well, here's the thing about Michael Bay is he's been notorious for, he doesn't storyboard anything.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell that with his movies, but you gotta give, I guess you can give him credit. Like, he has to remember everything he's thinking about to go into the scene. He must be a difficult director to work with for that reason alone. But I think that's a big reason where he's making this movie on the fly, despite whatever his script is, which probably doesn't exist to begin with, if you saw the plot.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, again, it's just, I can't blame him. And here's the thing. If he's going to make this much money on this film, I don't think the studio is going to care.
No, no one's going to care. It's the ROI is too big.
Yeah,
it's too large.
So I don't even know what I'm saying at this point. Like, try more.
Our official review, you want to see it, go for it, but not necessarily recommending it.
No, it's exactly what you expect. And if you're into that, good for you, I guess.
You know what I'll say? Good for the sound people.
Oh, yeah.
Great sound
effects.
The
sound was great.
Every Transformers movie has great sound effects. I'll give them that.
I just wish I knew what Transformers I was watching.
Yeah, I know.
because I hate the design of these robots.
I know. Megatron, I feel like he looks different in
every
movie.
Oh, he's Galvatron now.
Oh, Galvatron.
Yeah, I remember that from Age of Extinction.
That's right.
Dark of the Moon or one.
Yeah, you're right.
He possessed himself into another robot or something. That's why he's a jet now.
Yeah.
Because immediately when that happened, when he transformed, I was like, isn't he supposed to be a... that's right.
He almost looks like a samurai. It's very... I don't know. They're trying too hard. They don't even look like machines anymore. You know what I mean? I liked that about the first one, when you could really see the parts of the vehicles. Now they truly just look like aliens.
Yeah,
now.
And now there's robot blood. It's
too much.
There's that one big military robot who's smoking a cigar for some reason.
Yeah.
And no one cares.
Yeah.
Just doesn't care.
Anyways, that's the official review of Transformers the last night.
Basically the review you were expecting.
Yeah. Anything else to say before we wrap this up?
Oh, God, no.
Well, as always, you can check us out on iTunes, the Google Play Store, NPR One app, KRCU.org, Facebook. Go to Facebook, search KRCU, keep up with the station and what we're doing. Tune in next week for the June wrap-up, correct?
When we have a big announcement that we're going to make on the show Real Talk.
Yes, absolutely. So tune in next week. And as always, for Real Talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.